Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. One more time. Lift up your hands and receive God's word this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Adonai, thank you for your word. Elion, thank you for your word. Rofeka, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Master. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Very, very quickly, is the blessing Sunday of the month of September, and is our month of reigning as kings by the force of wisdom. And I'm going to be quickly speaking on wisdom for the blessing. Wisdom for the blessing. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 13 all the way to verse 18. Proverbs 3, 13 all the way to verse 18. You say, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. She is more precious than rubies. Keep going, I'm going all the way to verse 18. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. He's talking about the man who gets wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are paths of peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. That is wisdom. Carries a package. The man who finds wisdom is connected to the package of the blessing of God. In that package, we find length of days, we find peace, we find rest. In that package, we find riches, we find wealth. It's a complete package of blessing that is connected to wisdom. He said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And as he finds wisdom, he finds all of those things. So the wisdom of God is a pathway to the blessing of God. It is possible to have money without God. It's possible. There are people who have money, they don't know God. But once it comes to the blessing, which is far beyond money, far beyond money. Once it comes to the blessing, which is all encompassing, it requires the wisdom of God, which is actually God's way of doing things, God's mode of operation, God's conduct for life. You just missed something. When we say the wisdom of God, what are we talking about? God's way of doing things, God's mode of operation, God's code of conduct for living, the wisdom of God. So what wisdom is relevant or necessary for the blessing of God? The blessing of God that maketh rich, the blessing of God that addeth no sorrow. What wisdom? Number one is the wisdom of relationship with the source of all blessing. Relationship with the source of all blessing. every man's source determines their sustenance. Is the wisdom of relationship with the source of all blessings. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28, Adam's relationship with the source of all blessing, provoked a blessing upon his life. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth. God bless them. You cannot be tied to the source and be denied the resources. You can't be connected to the root and be deprived of the fruit. In Genesis chapter 9 verse 1, we see the connection of Noah. You remember that when the flood was to happen, in Genesis chapter 8 verse 5, 6, the Bible says Noah found grace. 6:8 thereabout. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. When it was time for God to overrun the earth, Noah found grace. That's right. 6:8. Noah found grace. Noah had a relationship with God. And then after the flood was over, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 3, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. He blessed Noah. Your connection determines your collection. And this is not just connection to man, but connection to God. Noah connected the blessing, collected the blessing, as he was connected to the source of all blessings. Third example here will be Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 1 to verse 2, the Bible said, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was Abraham. So Abraham departed. What was it that differentiated Abraham from his father's house? His father, Terah. His brother, Nahor. His other brother, Haran, the father of Lot. All of them had no reflection of the blessing of God on their lives. Except Abraham. What was it that differentiated Abraham? Was his relationship with God. Listen, beloved. What is going to demarcate you from your village people is your connection to God, not your education. Am I communicating? It's not your education. What is going to differentiate you from your classmates is the quality of your relationship with God. What is going to differentiate you from your father's house? People that have the same father and mother with you. What is going to make your story and your case different is your relationship. The quality of your relationship with God. I came across a research where an unbeliever parents, drunker parents, drug addict parents, give birth to a set of children, like three children, in their unbelievious state, drunken state, fighting state. Then they gave their life to Christ. And after they gave their life to Christ, they gave birth to another set of children, like three more children. And it was very, very clear that the children that witnessed their unbelievers' life, their lives was different from those that grew when they had changed. For one reason or the other, those later children went well. It went well with them. They were born into a climate that was different. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? This is very, very important. Your relationship with God. You see, anything God cannot give you, you don't need. Don't look for any result outside of God. Every result outside of God may be your grave. God forbid. So the first thing that we are dealing with in terms of the wisdom of the blessing is wisdom. That is why the Bible said the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. It is wisdom to know God. It is wisdom to love God. It is wisdom to live for God. Number two is the wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God. Call it the God first mentality. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is the meaning of that? Seek the interest of the kingdom and you will reap the harvest of the kingdom. Seek the interest of the kingdom and you cannot lack the harvest of the kingdom. Pursue the cause of the kingdom and you will possess the best of the kingdom. Pursue the cause of the kingdom and you will possess the best of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and in verse 5, 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5, concerning King Uzziah, the Bible said, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, concerning King Uzziah. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God first. Beloved brothers and sisters, when this ministry started, the first time that a major money came into our hands for church, it was possible to say that the pastor had no accommodation. So let us get him an accommodation. No way. That money went straight to get a temporary place for the church. While myself, a medical doctor, my wife, another doctor, our baby, one other person and one another person, a woman and a man, all of us were in one room in a boys' quarter. A boys' quarter that had no toilet. You had to come out of the room to look for toilet outside. We lived there. From that boys' quarter, we were there for 13 months. And then moved to a rented house. While churches were being planted around the world and church buildings were being built, we lived in rented apartment for 13 years. We didn't remember that we did not have a house. That is, church had enough money to rent house, to buy house, to build house. We forgot. It was later on our attention was drawn. By the time this church was 10 years old, we already had church properties everywhere. But pastor was still in a rented house. Till 13 years. And God knows it. That the interest of the kingdom was paramount. The why there is nothing we see now that should be a shock to anybody. Anything God decides to do for this work or for this pastor is justified.
Very well.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It's not a boast, but that is true. And if you see God, you can also ask him. That is completely, you forgot yourself. You put kingdom first. Say this shoe is 7,000 naira. Then, I say 7,000 for one shoe. Does the shoe have tire? Because at that time I have not given 7,000 to God at once as an offering. So I did not think it was what I was justified to use it to buy shoe. Meanwhile, in less than a week, I spent 50,000 on materials that will enhance my life, books, spiritual materials that I will study, that I will pray with to impact people's lives. And God saw all of that. Today I don't struggle to buy any shoe. Please don't struggle to say, see what pastor is wearing. Let me go. Don't struggle. 99% of things I wear, especially shoes and all of that, I don't have the time to buy. Somebody said to me, I've been watching out to see the shoe I gave you as a gift. When you will wear it? I said, don't wait. Don't wait, because I don't know when I'll wear it. I don't know. I push many of them out. Because you have shoe brand new that has been there for 5 years in the box. No time to wear it. You didn't buy it. Am I communicating at all? The things that other people will use their money to buy, God said, let me buy it for you. Let me buy them for you. And it's not all testimonies we can share. Otherwise, some witches will die. You know, not every witch is flying in the night. There are witches in court. When bitterness mature, it qualifies for witchcraft. Award of certificate as BSc Witchology. Hallelujah. I prophesy to somebody here today. As you make Jehovah God your priority, the priority of your life, in a short time, God will make you the envy of your generation. He will make you the envy of your generation. He will make you the envy of your generation. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout the believers amen. The interest of the kingdom. God's servant, Papa Oyedepo, Bishop Oyedepo, went to do teaching practice. I believe it was in the year of, I think, 1971, 70 something. And when he got to the village, he looked around and there was not a church. And he said, what? In my lifetime, I can come to a place that has no church? Most places have churches, all churches, ancient churches. I mean, no matter what, community must have Catholic church. No matter what. If it doesn't have anything, it must have Catholic church, must have maybe Methodist, Anglican. This village had no single church. See, can I come to a place here and no church? He began to evangelize to the people. And the people were mostly dominated from another religion. He began to evangelize. He began to evangelize. Began to preach to them. He says, pray with me. I want to pray with you. Say, Father, thank you. Jesus, come into my life. Evangelism by fire. By the time he finished, he planted a church with, I think, palm fronds and all of that, built a church under a
was it 70 something days or something days he spent there.
By the time he was going to leave the village, the chief of the village came to send him off. And the chief said, it is on record that anywhere church enters, development has entered. It's on record. Because churches brought missionary schools. They brought orphanages. They brought hospitals. Am I communicating at all? They brought all the things. So once church enters a place, development has come. And the chief said, building us a church, it is development you brought to us. And the chief brought a lantern. He said, since you have brought us light in this place, take this lamp, this lantern, and you will go over the whole, take this lantern and lighten the whole world. That was the blessing a village chief gave a man who sought forth the kingdom of God. Today, he has lightened the whole world. And he's still going. Anywhere I have gone, Argentina, Brazil, everywhere. We saw you with Bishop Oyedepo. They know him. There is not a place in the world I have been that is, who is he? Because when he was a young man, somebody gave him lantern to take the light to the whole world, because he prioritized the kingdom. When you live for yourself, you live for very small. When you live beyond yourself, you live for a generation. When you live for yourself, you live for very small. When you live beyond yourself, when you live for the kingdom, you live for a generation. And I want to encourage all of us today. Please make up your mind from this moment that you are not just going to live for what to wear, what to drink, what to drive, where to live in or where to sleep in. You are going to make the interest of the kingdom paramount in your life. You are going to say, what am I going to do with my time here for God? What will I do with my resources here for God? What will I do with these opportunities here for God? What will I do with these opportunities I have? That will be paramount in your heart. And once that happens, you don't beg for the blessing. The blessing looks for you. Somebody say aloud, amen. That was the wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God. That you saw the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13 and 14. When she had just one meal to eat, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Alright, start from verse 12. Elijah was asking her to give him water and give him a meal. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thereof a little cake first, that is the word, and bring unto me, and after make for you and for your son. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord send the rain upon the earth. See, that's called the God first mentality. You will be thinking, why will Elijah not pity a widow? Why will Elijah not pity a widow? Why will Elijah not pity a widow? But it was scriptural principle. First for God. First for the cause of God. And then you are not permitted to perish. No, when I grew up in ministry, I came up, my background was the kind of deeper life and the kind of scripture union and FCS kind of background. So I shied away from talking about money. I didn't want to be classified as somebody who was looking for people's money. Because I trained to be a medical doctor. I grew up in a father's house that handled a lot of money. So I wasn't looking for anybody's money at all. And I didn't want to. So I shied away. I would just shy. In fact, one day, a man came. He was in our church on a Sunday morning. And that Sunday was my birthday. That man was a friend.
I asked him to preach, and he preached on Sunday morning. And he said, you know what? Today is our pastor's birthday. Let us, the Bible encourages us to give to our pastor. Let us give to the pastor. Let us honor him. And people gave. How many will give this and that? At that time, it was about 670 something thousand on a Sunday morning. That would be like 660 something million today, maybe by the exchange rate or something. And I came up and I said, people, praise the Lord. I want to say three things about what this man has just done. Number one, what he did, I didn't ask him to do it. Number two, what he did is scriptural, because the Bible says we should give to our pastor. Number three, I don't need it. I return it back to church. That was the kind of way we functioned. When we say we are planting five churches at once, when the first set of church planting started, and people gave towards the microphone and the sound system, on Sunday morning we bought it and put it on the altar and said, this is the first equipment for the Gwagwalada church, this is Otuko church, this is Makodi church, this is Zumaya church. We put the money you gave, see it. That was how we functioned. I shied away from talking about money. I didn't want to be branded a money preacher. Until the Lord said, the giving of the people is not to you. It is not even to the benefit of him, God. But it is in the interest of their life. He says it's a principle. A giving principle. That if Elijah had pitied the woman because she was a widow, she would have died of hunger. But he said, give to me, give towards the cause of the kingdom first. That set me free. That liberated me. All right? I am doing the people more favor if I teach them the principles and I leave them with God. So that was the God first principle that bailed out the widow of Zarephath. And today is going to bail out somebody. If you are that person, say aloud, amen. The wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm going to rush because we are running two services now and we have a time limit. The wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God. Number three is the wisdom of walking in the covenant of supernatural supplies. You have put God first, but there is a covenant of supernatural supplies. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 shows us some of the details of that covenant. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. If there must be a harvest time, there must be a seed time. There must be a seed time. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The power to get wealth follows covenant. Kingdom financial empowerment is a covenant. That he may establish his covenant. The covenant of supernatural supplies. In Genesis chapter 18. Sorry, chapter 14. And in verse 18 to verse 20. Genesis, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Keep going all the way to verse 20. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. This was the beginning of the tithe. 400 years before the law. 430 years before the law of Moses. It was not a matter of the law. It was a matter of the covenant work. A matter of the covenant. Where the Bible said, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. It's not a matter of commandment. It's a matter of covenant. Am I communicating?
without all contradiction. He said, here men that die pay tithe, but there he receiveth them. Here men that die, here on earth, mortal men receive tithe, but there he receiveth them. So receiveth is present continuous. He received them before, he is receiving them now, he is receiving them in heaven. We may give the tithe in the offering on the earth, but the one who received them is in heaven. He received them. He received. It's the covenant of supernatural supplies in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to verse 7. Say, but of this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. These are scriptures. The Lord, here is what you gave to me, and I release back to you your portion. And beyond your portion, this is my giving for crusades. This is my giving for church planting. This is my giving to the poor. This is my giving to the priest. Different forms of giving. You are the determinant of what to do. But it is a covenant. Now let me say this before we go to the next point. Working in the covenant is the wisdom of connecting human resources with divine resources. It is a connection of human resources with divine resources. When you are a covenant practitioner in tithing, in givings, you are, it's like joining the pipe of your supply with the supply of God. In case you don't understand, this is what it means. When the 5 loaves and 2 fishes was in the hand of the little boy. Remember the miracle of multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6 from verse 9 to verse 12. There is a lad here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When the 5 loaves and 2 fishes was in the hand of the small boy, it remained limited. But when it was put into the hand of the master, the potential exploded. Until 5,000 men, beside women and children, were fed. And 12 baskets were taken out. If I may ask you, who will be the owner of the 12 baskets? From where the seed came, that is where the fruit will go. That is where the harvest will go. That is where it will return. You know, human resources is limited. Divine resources is limitless. How are we able to go around the world, do crusades without taking an offering? How are we able to move and do all the welfare things? The poor are fed. Churches are built. As we are now, there are there are evangelists that are on monthly release from this ministry in 6 zeros every month for their own crusades. Every month. So that the work of God in their hands can prosper. So that God can help us to prosper in His work that is in our hands. And the supply is, it flows, it just keeps flowing. Again, it's not every testimony we can share to avoid conversion. Somebody say a loud amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you can connect your resources with the resources of God by the covenant of supernatural supply. Say, what is in your hands is limited, but what is in His hands is limitless. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Now, number 4 is the wisdom functioning and transacting by the revelation of God's word. Functioning and transacting in life by the revelation of God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 1 to verse 2, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. You see, there is something to hearken to that will cause the blessings to flow. There is a connection between revelation and provision. Revelation and provision. There is a connection. That was what we saw with Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, all the way to verse 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. And because you have received the revelation, you are shifted into the realm of a blessing. Because you have received the revelation, you are shifted into the realm of a blessing. Your level of revelation, all right, your blessing in life is directly proportional to your depth of revelation. Put it this way, the weight of blessing you can walk in is directly proportional to the depth of revelation you are walking in. If you cannot see what I see, you cannot have what I have. Depth of revelation is proportional to weight of blessing. As a pastor and a minister in healing ministry, take your seat. I must have some light that I see, that I saw, that makes me to expect people to be healed when I pray. I must have that light. As a person living to fulfill destiny, I must have a light I am walking in that convinces me that I cannot be wasted before my time. Am I communicating? As a man walking in faith, in the prophetic, there must be a light I must have, I'm walking with, that says, if I say it, it will come to pass in the same manner. As someone in the realm of the business, there must be a light of the word that you must be walking in, that says, when men are cast down, you can say there is a lifting up. That your destiny is not at the mercy of the economy of the world. There must be a light you are walking in. That is what, am I communicating at all? Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? As a pastor in ministry, why don't you come here every Sunday and you are put under pressure? First offering, everybody, you must give for this crusade. Now we are going to take another one. And we are going to take a third one. We are going to take a fourth one, a fifth one, a sixth one. And then special reason. And under pressure. We have this project, we have that project, and everybody under pressure. Why? Because there's something I am seeing that says
The people seated are not the source. They didn't send you. There is a sender who sent you and who is responsible for his work. He may pass through the people as whenever he wants and as frequently as he wants, but ultimately he's the one. So your light determines your flight. So the extent of your light is the extent of your flight. Why God's servant Bishop Oyedepo and Pastor Adeboye and so forth are not are seeing results different from many people is because there are things they are seeing that others never saw. Some have seen some members in the church as their source. So when the member's business is suffering, the church income is suffering. And in fact, the member can be pressured until he's empty. And then that is the end. But that will never be your portion. Somebody say after me, say, Father, open my eyes to see wonders out of your word. Open down my eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. Open my eyes to see new light. So I challenge every businessman here, every career person, every person in enterprise. Lord, give me my word, my revelation word, to sustain my business enterprise. Give me the word to stand on. Give me my basis of expectation, my basis of revelation. Show me what I need to know to make me move freely, to cross barriers and boundaries, to function and operate as if the systems of the world cannot limit me. Open my eyes to see the things I need to see. Your revelation, the depth of your revelation will determine the weight of your blessing. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Finally, oh, our time is gone. Finally, ease. All right, you look at the wisdom of functioning by the revelation of God's word. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. So there is a blessing in the word. Blessed. And then Psalm 1 verse 1 to verse 3. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but is delighted in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who is that man? The man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law he meditates. So he's standing by the riverside. I am standing by the riverside. I'm watered by the Lord. I'm standing by the riverside. I'm watered by the Lord. The Holy Spirit within me is my comforter. I am planted, I am watered by the Lord. I'm standing by the riverside, I'm watered by the Lord. I'm standing by the riverside, I'm watered by the Lord. Country, I'm planted by the riverside, I'm watered by the Lord.
I am planted, I am watered.
One more time. Planted by the riverside, I'm watered by the Lord. Planted by the riverside, I'm watered by the Lord. His Holy Spirit lives in me and is my comforter. I am planted, I am watered by the Lord. Sing it one more time. I'm planted by the riverside, I'm watered by the Lord. I'm planted by the riverside and watered by the Lord. His Holy Spirit lives in me and he's my
Meditating on the word. So get a word basis. Get a reason why you expect the things you are doing not to dry up. The wisdom of functioning. Was that number five? No. What is number one? The wisdom of relationship with the source of all blessings. Number two, the wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God. Number three, the wisdom of walking in the covenant of supernatural supplies. Number four, the wisdom of functioning and transacting in life by the revelation of the word. Number five, the wisdom of operating, of possessing and operating a storehouse. In bracket, you put it reserve. The wisdom of functioning, of possessing and operating a storehouse is a reserve. Summary is the wisdom of not spending everything. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8, he said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. Storehouses. So God expects us not just to have storehouse, but storehouses. Place of the store. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 50. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. He said, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. It is wisdom to have a treasure house. A treasure. Somebody say, but what I have is not enough. Yes, God knows it's not enough for now. But it's a faith operation. You got 100,000 in a month. And your expenses is meant to be 120,000. You still took 5,000 or 10,000 and put it away. And forget that it exists. It is a faith action that says more is coming. It is a divine wisdom that says, I will never spend everything. It is a prophetic action that makes God to push money in your direction. So now it is not enough. Then you start. And then after a while, it begins to become enough. Then after a while, you step into the realm where it is more than enough. And it is there. And I'll talk about it in the second service. Why this is important is because when the opportunities come for you to do something with money, there was something put aside. The first land we bought in area one was bought from reserve. A church under 2-3 years, you had money put aside. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. There are so many people that would have been bigger than where they are now, but they wasted their lives, wasted time, wasted resources. That will never be your portion. I met a man, and I spoke with a man a few days ago. He said 5 years ago, he put into a fixed deposit account 5 billion. That is yielding hundreds of millions every year. But the principal
and the interest in the last 5 years has not been touched. He said, in case I retire, that may be my retirement benefit. So he can just remain there and be sustaining me for good. It's wisdom. And because God sees that such a person has the capacity to do such a thing, other things opened up to a point where he didn't touch that one. He didn't need to touch that one. Today, somebody is being spoken about. Tomorrow it shall be you. Now somebody may be winking his nose, say, who dash monkey banana? You are not a monkey, you are a human being. I said today it is somebody's story, tomorrow it shall be your story. If it shall be your story, stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Hey! If it shall be your story, shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for your word of the blessing to my life,
to my life.
Today, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift your hands and pray after me and say, Father,
Father,
I come before you today, and I ask that you help me with the blessing,
with the wisdom
of relationship with you, the source of all blessings. In the name of Jesus, I come before you and I ask for the wisdom of seeking the kingdom first. In the name of Jesus, I come before you and I ask for the wisdom of walking in the covenant of supernatural supplies. In the name of Jesus, I come before you and ask for the wisdom of functioning and transacting in life by revelation. In the name of Jesus, I come before you for the wisdom of possessing and operating a storehouse, the wisdom of not spending everything. I receive now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name,
amen.
Something is coming upon you today.
Amen.
Somebody who received something today, say a louder
amen.
Lift your hands and say, Father,
today
is my day of visitation.
And I thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat.